but he wants to follow David. He sees something in this godly man, the godly character of David, the integrity, and who David is as a man. They just, like a magnet, he just draws them to himself. He just saw there was something about him. There was like a drawing, you know, something about him and God. Even in a pagan land, there are those that the integrity of God and who God is, and when they see a man of God, it's like a magnet. They're drawn to that one.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 2 Samuel chapters 15 and 16.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Psalm 41:9, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. We know that's prophetically of Judas, but the local application is with Ahithophel. And you think, wow, why would Ahithophel want to bail out on David? I mean, it seems like they were so close. How is it when you're so close in ministry and all of a sudden there's some rumblings over here and there's a little bit of division over here? One that you trusted in, one that you love, one that you fellowship, they're going with the rabble-rousers. And your heart is breaking. Well, I think we might have a little bit of a clue here if you stick in 2 Samuel where we're at 15, but if you turn back a couple chapters in chapter 11, when we think about Bathsheba. Now, remember when David saw her taking a bath on the roof, he asked his servants, who is she? And in chapter 11, verse 3, as David inquired, they said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? So, oh, Eliam, okay, the daughter of Eliam. Well, who is Eliam? Well, if we go a little farther in 2 Samuel, in chapter 24, when it talks about David's mighty men, it lists a bunch of them, but then it gets down to verse 34, and we find one of the mighty men are Eliam. Eliam, who is that? Well, that's the son of Ahithophel, the Gileonite. Bathsheba was Ahithophel's granddaughter. And with all that was going on with David, what David caused, that grief that David caused in the family of Ahithophel and his granddaughter and with Uriah, I think at that point, when the rebellion took place, I think Ahithophel, in just the realization that there never seemed to be a healing in that, you know, maybe God had forgiven David of that sin, but somehow there was an unforgiveness there with Ahithophel, or maybe David didn't make an approach to Ahithophel and make it clear enough that he did repent. We just don't know. But nonetheless, we find Ahithophel, Bathsheba's grandfather, joined with Absalom. So we go on in verse 13. And it says, then a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. And David said to all his servants who are with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for otherwise none of us shall escape from Absalom. Go in haste, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down calamity on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. Then the king's servant said to the king, behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king chooses. So the king went out and all his household with him. When the king left, 10 concubines he left to keep the house. And the king went out and all the people with him, and they stopped at the last house. Now all his servants passed on beside him, all the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men who had come with him from Gath, passed on before the king. So here, David, again, remember, he's not only the sweet psalmist of Israel, but he's the good shepherd. I mean, he's the type of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And he is a good shepherd. He's flawed, but he's a good shepherd. He doesn't want bloodshed in the city. He doesn't want those that are innocent to die. So he says, let's leave. Let's go. Let's flee. Absalom wants blood. I don't. And I don't want the innocent to die. Let's flee. And also, he didn't want to allow Jerusalem to be besieged, the city of God. He didn't want it to be besieged, so he said, let's go out. Let's go out to the last house there. Let's gather outside the city and have an orderly retreat. Let's not all just scurry every which way, and it looks like it's a panic. And so the good shepherd leading the sheep, even in a retreat. You see the heart of David as we're looking at David uncensored, King David uncensored, the best and the worst of a man after God's own heart. So you see, you kind of get the good and the bad with David. You know, he's like all of us. They're good attributes, but there are also some flaws in all of us. He goes on, verse 19, and he says, and the king said to Ittai, the Gittite, why will you also go with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile. Return to your own place. You came only yesterday, and it wasn't necessarily yesterday, but it was. You came just a short time ago, and that's a way of saying a short time ago. And shall I today make you wander with us while I go where I will? Return and take back your brothers. Mercy and truth be with you. This is a good guy, Ittai. And we find that this guy, now there are some mercenaries we find that are foreigners. They're not even Israelites. In fact, the Cherethites and the Pelethites, they were part of David's bodyguard and they were foreigners. They were mercenaries. But they saw in David something they admired, so they came to David's side. And also those Gittites, they came from Gath. Philistines? Hear this, Ittai? Was he now an exile from Gath? It seems that way. But he wants to follow David. He sees something in this godly man. Notice the contrast between Absalom and the godly character of David, the integrity and who David is as a man. They just, like a magnet, he just draws them to himself. And so this Ittai, he says, you know, there's no need for you to risk your life with me. Go and serve my son. Serve Absalom. Just be in his kingdom. You know, he's not going to know your allegiance was for me. Just go. You're a foreigner. He's not going to know the difference, and it's going to be safe for you to do so. Go serve him. You don't want to wander around with us, wherever, and with me, wherever I'm going to go. I don't even know where I'm going to go. But notice this guy. He's a great guy. Boy, he's the kind of friend, the kind of loyal guy person that you want. He didn't even come from your tribe. He didn't even come from your nation. He just saw there was something about him. There was like a drawing, you know, something about him and God. You know, even in a pagan land, there are those that there's something about the integrity of God and who God is. And when they see a man of God, it's like a magnet. They're drawn to that one. But Ittai, notice in verse 21, answered the king and said, "As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely, wherever my lord the king may be, whether for death or for life, there also your servant will be." Therefore, David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." So Ittai the Gittite passed over with all his men and all the little ones who were with him. You know, interesting. You know, where you go, I'm going to go. Where you die, I'm going to die. Doesn't that sound familiar? That pledge that Ittai gives to David, that undying loyalty, that undying allegiance that he pledges to David, it kind of sounds like Ruth, her pledge to Naomi. Remember when they were in the land of Moab and Naomi said, "No, you go back, you know, I have no more offspring in my womb, the sons have died, you go back with your people and marry, you know, in your own land," because Ruth was a Moabite. And Ruth said, "Oh no, no, I'm not going to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And nothing but death will separate us." Boy, what companionship, what love, what fellowship there is. Kind of reminds me of David and Jonathan. Boy, they had that kind of relationship. I mean, just a tremendous love for one another. And one of the things we find as we go a little farther, as we get to chapter 18, we find that David, when he divided his army, because of that loyalty of Ittai, he gives a third of the army under the command of Ittai. So he kind of rewards him in that way. Verse 23 says, "While all the country was weeping with a loud voice and all the people passed over, the king also passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness." Now, if you've been to Israel with us, you know that the Kidron Valley, it runs from north to south, south to north. The Kidron Valley basically separates the city of David or the city from the Mount of Olives. It's the valley that separates the Mount of Olives from the gate, the wall of the city. When you stand on top of the Mount of Olives, the Kidron Valley is there, and then you see the city wall. And so they're passing over that area. And he says in verse 24, "And behold, Zadok also came, and all the Levites with him carrying the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar came up until all the people had finished passing from the city." Now what we're seeing here, bringing the ark over, that would seem like a logical thing, right? Because David is the rightful king, so the ark should go with David. Wrong. That's not how David sees it. And that's very interesting. Well, he goes on, verse 25, "And the king said to Zadok, 'Return the ark of God to the city. If I find favor in the sight of the Lord, then he will bring me back again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he should say thus, I have no delight in you, behold, here I am. Let him go. Let him do to me as seems good to him.' And the king said to Zadok the priest, 'You also are a seer. Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, your son Ahimaaz and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I am going to wait at the fords of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me. Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar returned the ark of God to Jerusalem and remained there. In other words, go back when Absalom is there, you be for the people, be the priest for the people with the ark at the tabernacle. That's where it belongs. You go there, be there with them. And also, you'll be kind of my spy network. You're going to hear certain things and you could get word to me. So you could do double duty. You could be priest for the people before the Lord with the ark, but you can also inform me of what's going on. Remember, the ark represented the presence of God. It was a golden box made out of acacia wood covered with gold. And in that box was Aaron's rod that budded, a jar of manna, and the Ten Commandments, the two tablets there in the ark. And so it would represent the presence of God. But David said, no, don't bring it with me. It belongs in the city. It belongs in the tabernacle. It belongs in the city of God. I don't want to use the ark for my advantage. I love that about David. I don't want to use this ark as a good luck charm or a religious relic to draw people. They know I have the ark, and so they're going to be drawn to me because I have the ark, the most holy relic that Israel has. I'm not going to do that, David says. That's sad when people do that. Saul did it. Remember when he was battling the Philistines? And they suggested, oh, go get the ark and we'll be victorious. They brought the ark in and there was a resounding cry, we've got the ark. It was almost like a good luck charm. And the Philistines heard that. They said, guys, they've got their God in the camp. We better fight like we've never fought before. And Saul and Israel were defeated. Why? Because they were looking at the thing and not looking at God. They weren't trusting the Lord. You see, even in the wilderness, remember when the children of Israel, that first generation, were rebellious and the serpents came out and bit them and they were dying, and God said to Moses, put a brass serpent on a pole, and as the people look at that, they will be healed. Brass is a type of judgment, and then up on that pole and they would look and be healed. But you see, and they were, but they didn't get rid of that pole and that serpent, and they carried it all through the wilderness and they carried it into the promised land. And remember, during the times of Hezekiah, they were actually worshiping that thing. They went back into idolatry. And Hezekiah said, get that thing and shred it to dust and throw it in the, you know, in the Jordan. And it's a Nehushtan, thing of brass. And so it was only a thing. It had no power. And so often people are drawn to artifacts. They're drawn to religious type of artifacts or something that represents maybe God. I know that I just saw in the news, and I think they had it over here, the Weeping Madonna. Supposedly weeping. They had it here. They had it in Hawaii for a number of weeks, and I'm sure people flocked to it. I just saw on the paper another type of weeping religious statue. And you find the naive and the superstitious go, and they flock to that because it's superstition. There's no power in something. Something made by the hands of man, there's no power in that. You see, and David realizes at this point, he realizes that God has got to deal with the situation that he's in. You see, and there's a brokenness, I believe, on David's part at this point. And he is broken, and he only wants God's will done. God, whatever you want done, I'm not going to bring some artifact to, you know, stir the people up to follow me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to use something that's artificial. I don't want to to give in to maneuvering and manipulating the people. If I'm favorable in your sight, God, you're going to bring me back. If I'm not, then Lord, you do with me what you want. If you want me to go down the tubes, I'll go down the tubes. That is a great place to be. You know, maybe it doesn't sound like a great place, but it really is. Because at that point, and only at that point, are we seeking only God. We're not holding on to something that's tangible or something that we can see or the five senses, you know, can look at, taste, touch, feel, smell, hear, you know, that kind of thing. But we have to use what Pastor Chuck has said, the sixth sense, that spiritual sense, God communing with us and us trusting the Lord. And then we can really experience the power of God in that kind of situation. And I think that's what we're finding with David. There's really a brokenness on David's part, and he's totally, absolutely trusting the Lord. Goes on in verse 30 and says, "And David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went, and his head was covered, and he walked barefoot. Then all the people who were with him each covered his head and went up weeping as he went." Now, someone told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Lord, I pray, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolishness." It happened as David was coming to the summit where God was worshipped, that behold, Hushai the Archite met him, and with him his coat torn and dust on his head. And David said to him, "If you pass over with me, then you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, 'I will be your servant, O king, as I have been your father's servant in times past, so I will now be your servant,' then you can thwart the counsel of Ahithophel for me. Are not Zadok and Abiathar the priest with you there? So it shall be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall report to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Behold, their two sons are with them there, Ahimeaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them you shall send me everything that you hear." So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 2 Samuel, chapters 15 and 16. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 2 Samuel chapters 15 and 16. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.